بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Last week we completed the reading of the description of wudu on page 21, and today we're going to go to the next topic, which is nawaqid al-wudu. Okay, so we're reading from Arabic lessons in fiqh Al-Mustawa Thalith, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today we're going to be reading from page 22 and page 23. Okay. Top of the page, نواقد or نواقد الوضوء. نواقد الوضوء. Meaning? نواقد الوضوء. He said, the nullifier of wudu. Good?
Naam.
Naam?
I think something's going to break the wudu.
Something's going to break the wudu. Anybody else? Nawaqid al-wudu'i.
Yeah,
huh?
The things that nullify.
Which is, yeah.
Huh? The things that notify, that nullify al-wudu. Fayyib. The word nawaqid is the jam' of naqid. Naqid means, and naqid means that thing which nullifies something. Okay? Naqid al-wudu is something that invalidates your state of purification. But what I was looking for was the plural. I was looking for the plural, nawaqid. And nawaqid is the plural of naqid. So these are the nullifiers, in plural, not nullifier one, nullifiers of al-wudu, of ablution. What we're going to look at today are some of those things which are pretty much agreed upon, that they invalidate the state of purification. And there may be other matters of which there's difference of opinion, which probably we may also look at. But yani, these are pretty much what is agreed upon. So they have mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4 only. Let's read. Lil wudu'i nawaqid. Nawaqidun tubtiluhu wa tukhrijuhu an ifadatil maqsoodi minhu wa hiya. One, كُلُّ مَا خَرَجَ مِنَ السَّبِيلَيْنِ لِلْوُضُوءِ نَوَاقِدْ تُبْتِلُهُ وَتُخْرِجُهُ عَنْ إِفَادَةِ الْمَقْسُودِ مِنْهُ. What is the meaning? لِلْوُضُوء نَوَاقِدُ. يعني for wudu, there are some things which نواقِد, يعني which invalidate it. Invalidate the wudu. There are some things which invalidate the wudu. Tubtiluhu wa tukhrijuhu an ifadat al-maqsoodu minhu. Tubtiluhu means what? Tubtiluhu. Yani, it makes it batil. Yani, invalid. It invalidates it. Wa tukhrijuhu an ifadat al-maqsoodu minhu. Wa tukhrijuhu. Takes you out, tukhrijuka or tukhrijuhu? Who? Yani min al-ifada, yani al-ifadata al-maqsood minhu.
Getting out of what he was intended doing with
that. Sayyid, yani al-ifada means here, the what?
The
Benefit. The ifada, the benefit. What is the benefit of wudu? Yani, being in a state of tahara, the benefit is it allows you to perform certain acts of worship that require purification. Yani, the ifada, the benefit from wudu is that it entitles you to perform salat, for example. You can make salat if you have a state of tahara, right? If you're not in a state of tahara, you can't make salat. So the ifada, yani the benefit that came from the wudu, is that it enables you, it allows you, it puts you in the position that it's permissible for you now to do some acts of worship that require purification. But this naqid, or any of these nawaqid, tukhrijuhu, yani tukhriju al-wudu an ifadati al-maqsood minhu. Yani it takes the wudu out of its position of benefiting you. Yani with what was intended by it. What is the maqsood minhu? Yani what is intended by wudu? That you be in a state of tahara so that you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are some things, nawaqid, the singular of them is naqid. There are some things which they invalidate the wudu. And they take the wudu out of its position of giving you a benefit that is intended by it. The benefit that is intended by it. Yani meaning, the benefit that's intended is that it allows you to perform certain acts of worship that require purification. Wahiyya, hiya. What is the meaning of hiya here? They are. Yani, hiya is feminine, singular, but it's referring back to, it's referring to a plural that is not human. So it's غير عاقل. غير عاقل plural is treated as though it's feminine singular, so we're saying hiya. But hiya here doesn't mean it or she, it means they. Referring to what? The condition? Those things. The nawaqid. It's referring back to the nawaqid. Yani, so those nawaqid are, number one, كل ما خرج من السبيلين. Meaning? Whatever go out of the two ways, the two passages. The passage in the front and the passage in the back. The qubul wa dubur. Passageways. Qubul wa dubur. Yani, the qubul means what's in front. And dubur means that which is in back. Dubur. Yani, dubur. Dubur. Yani, naam. So, it says that what? The first of them is everything that comes out of the two passageways. Yani, as-sabilain is the muthanna of as-sabil. As-sabil means the way. Passageways here. From the front of the body and from the back of the body. Yani primarily it's referring to al-bawl wal-ghait. Urine and feces. Sawa'un, primarily. Sawa'un akana bawlan am ghaitan am rihan am maniyan أم مذيا أو وديا أو يعني غير ذلك ها؟ you have M I'm sorry سواء كان بولا أم غائطا أم ريحا أم منيا وعليكم السلام أم وديا أم غير ذلك. Meaning, whatever came out of the two passages, doesn't matter. Sawa'an. It doesn't matter if it is urine or feces or wind, gas, or mani, yani semen, or madhi or wadi. Yani madhi and wadi are yani something that is secreted, yani either. Yani, when the person urinates, something may come out with it, wadi. And if the person has sexual excitement, something may come out that's not semen, then that's, yani, the other. So the point here, they're saying what? That whatever came out of these two ways, yani, primarily urine or feces or gas, passing gas, any or other substances that may be excreted from the body, if anything came from these two passageways, then it invalidates the person's state of tahara. وكذلك إذا خرج البول أو الغائط من غير السبيلين كالجرح. يعني كذلك إذا خرج البول أو الغائط من غير السبيلين كالجرح. Meaning? Huh? Similarly, yeah, like even if the urine or the feces came out of the body from other than the two normal passageways. Like for example, came from a wound or something, or any opening that the person may have in their body. Like some people maybe, they have some yani, physical, yani, medical problem, and they can't relieve themselves, yani, urine or defecate in the normal way, so they may come from the body from an opening that the medically they make in the body. So that, yes. Naam. Yeah, so if a person has some kind of condition that it came from other than the two ways, also it invalidates the state of tahara. Jarh means a wound. A wound, naam. Person has a wound. Li qawlihi ta'ala, yani the meaning of li qawlihi ta'ala, the lam here means what? What is the intended meaning of lam here? Li qawlihi ta'ala. What do we understand from this? Because of, yani based upon, due to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that this is the evidence that proves the statement that we just made. Okay, li, yani means here, based upon, in light of, yani due to the saying of Allah, the Most High, where He said, أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِنْكُمْ مِنَ الْغَائِطِ. Yani from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 6th Ayat. Yani, or if one of you came from the place of relieving yourself, al-ghait. Al-ghait here, the meaning of it, is the place that a person goes to relieve themselves. So if somebody came from that place, meaning, they came from there because they had to relieve themselves, right? So they urinated, they defecated, they relieved themselves. So this is the meaning here. If any one of you came from al-ghaiti, yani from relieving themselves, from the place of relieving themselves, then this is, you know, from the meanings of the requirement for al-wudu, that a person has relieved herself. Another proof for this that gives us a further detail concerning that which may cause the invalidation of wudu is the hadith of Abi Hurairah. Li hadithi Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qal. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yaqbalu Allah salata ahadikum idha ahdatha hatta yatawadda'a. فقال رجل من حضرموت ما الحدث يا أبا هريرة قال فساء أو ضرات متفق عليه. يعني the second evidence that's mentioned here that this position or this statement is based upon يعني لحديث أبي هريرة based upon the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه may Allah be pleased with him. قال he Abu Huraira said Abu Huraira said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضع. يعني meaning? نعم. Allah will not, does not accept the salat of any one of you, meaning anyone. Salata ahadikum. Allah doesn't accept the salat of anyone. Either ahdatha, if and when that person ahdatha. Yani, there's something invalidating the wudu. That's the general meaning of it. Ahdatha. Hatta yatawadda. Hatta yatawadda. Until that person performs ablution. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ حَضْرَمَوْتْ. So a man from Hadramaut, yani, which is a place in Yemen, in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula, he said, مَا الْحَدَثُ. Yani, إِذَا أَحْدَثَ. He said, what is this hadath? What is hadath? What do you mean by that? يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَةُ. Oh, Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said, فُسَاءٌ أَوْ ذُرَاتٌ. فساء أو دراة، يعني فساء means the person pass wind noiselessly, no sound, بدون صوت. نعم. And durat means the person pass wind with a sound, يعني meaning there's noise that came with it. Okay, so the passing of wind, whether it came announced or unannounced, huh? It invalidates wudu. Unlike some people imagine, if there's no sound, they got away with it. So no need to make wudu. Not so. Yani, passing of wind, like urinating or defecating, requires wudu. This hadith is muttafaqun alayhi, yani, meaning what? Agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. Bas? That's the meaning of muttafaqun alayhi?
We found it, they
agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim as being sahih. As being sahih. Naam ya Ibrahim al-Fulani. The hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't leave
until you hear a sound
or you smell something.
In that case, if the person doesn't hear the sound,
they didn't smell anything and they didn't hear anything. Yani, the scholars of Sunnah, from amongst them, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said that, and this is what the scholars of Sunnah generally said, that the meaning of this hadith, don't leave unless you hear or smell something, it means that al-ghalib, mostly if a person pass wind, they're going to either hear something or smell something, or both of them, but either one or the other. Yani, if you don't hear anything, you're going to at least smell something. So that's the ghalib. That doesn't mean that's absolute. If a person passed wind and they didn't hear any sound and they didn't smell anything, but they know they passed wind, khalas, you have to go and make wudu. Yani that hadith means that this is mostly how a person knows. The intent of it is don't leave until you are sure you have passed wind. And how you be sure? You heard something or you smelled something. But what if you didn't hear or you didn't smell, but you are certain. So then what? Then if you're in a state of doubt, you don't leave. That's the point. Jazakallah khair. Yaqeen. Okay, so we're going to talk about this in the next topic. Yani, the shek of tahara. If a person is in doubt, or they are not in doubt. Okay, we're going to talk about that in the next subject. But for now, yani, let's hold it for next time, okay? But that's the point, yes, you are right. If you are not sure, yani there's doubt. I know I was in state of tahara, and I'm not sure that actually anything happened. Just some rumbling in my stomach maybe, but I'm not sure that I passed wind. So, yani, the rule is, yani, you don't give up that which you are sure about for that which you are in doubt about. Doubt does not remove certainty. Okay, we'll talk about it in the next topic, inshallah. Next, yani, week or whenever we get to the next topic. Okay, so, yani, the first point is, the first one of the nawaqid of al-wudu is everything that came from the two passages. Particularly urine, feces, gas, and like this. But even if it's something else, and then, yani, the shaykh, they are adding here, even if those things came from something other than the two natural passageways for them to come from, still invalidates wudu. Second one, some of the scholars have divided into two, but they made it here as one, so we'll take them as one, okay? Yani, it is sleeping. And then they have added to it other things. So normally it came as sleeping as one, has its own category, and it's clear, yani, specific proof, and then other things that by qiyas may be included under the same rule. Okay, so they put them all together. Number two, zawalu al-aqli. أو تغطيته بسكر أو إغماء أو نوم أو جنون أو دواء. زوال العقل meaning يعني زوال العقل means that the intellect has gone. Intellect has gone and it has left. أو تغطيته or تغطيته يعني تغطيته means what? It's covered. It's covered. يعني the intellect is covered by something. Covered. يعني the intellect يعني has been clouded. It has been يعني confused. يعني the intellect is not clear. There's something interfere with it so that it's not, a person is not able to think clearly anymore. And that might be يعني بسكرٍ أو إغماء أو نوم أو جنون أو دواء. It might be due to sukrin, or it might be due to إغماء, or it might be due to نوم, or it might be due to جنون, or it might be due to دواء. If for any of these reasons the person's intellect is gone, or it is least covered up by these causes, then this is also from the يعني نواقض of الوضوء. نعم. That's okay, it's alright. Sukrin. Sukrin. Sukrin, intoxication. Igma'in. Huh? Fainting or becoming unconscious. Person lost consciousness. Naumin is clear, right? Sleep. Junoon. Huh? Madness. Insanity. A person lost their mind. Yani they have no control over their mind anymore. Or dawa'in, medication. Yani maybe a person took some kind of medication that clouded their mind. Yani so that they can't think clearly anymore. So we have naum, which has its own separate and clear, yani dalil. And then we have yani sukrin also, yani has yani clear dalil. And then there's igma, and there's junoon, has some dalil too. And there's dawa. Okay? Naam, ya mente. Igma'in. Yani meaning the person became unconscious. They became unconscious. They fainted, for example. Person fell out. They fainted. They became unconscious. Speak about. Yani, it's from the verb ghama in its fourth form, af'ala. Yani aghma yughmi. Igma'an. Yani it's the masdar from aghma yughmi igma. The masdar. Now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now,
we heard a noise coming out.
Anyway, we'll talk about that topic when we come to it, inshallah. When we come to it, inshallah. Okay, we'll talk about it, inshallah. So what is important here is that there are various conditions that a person may be subjected to. Yani their mental state is not clear. They are not in their normal mental state because they, yani, use some intoxicant. Or because they took some medication that could affect your mental faculties. Or they, yani, lost their mind. Or they fainted and so on. Okay, so there are different conditions that a person might be subject to that could take their aql away completely, or at least yani cause it to become clouded, so it's not functioning normally. Evidence for this, li hadithi Safwan ibn As-Sal radiyallahu anhu qal kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'muruna idha kunna safran alla nanzi'a khifafana thalathata ayyamin ولياليهن إلا من جنابة ولكن من غائط وبول ونوم رواه أحمد والنسائي والترمذي وصححه. طيب, let's go back to it. The hadith of Safwan ibn As-Sal رضي الله عنه, يعني The proof for this, we're going to start with the hadith of Safwan radiallahu anhu. He said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَأْمُرُنَا. يعني, meaning? يعني, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded us. يعني, كَانَ يَأْمُرُنَا. He used to command us. يعني, it was something that happened so many times, not one time. كَانَ يَأْمُرُنَا إِذَا كُنَّا سَفْرًا. If we are travelers, يعني, traveling, not resident, away from our homes, أَلَّا نَنْزِعَ خِفَافَنَا, that we should not remove our socks. We should not remove the khufs that we are wearing. And this also, the hukm is also applicable to jawrab, or whatever a person is wearing on their feet. Yani, as we discussed in detail previously. أَلَّا نَنْزِعَ خِفَافَنَا, don't remove our footwear. ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ وَلَيَالِهِنَّ, for a period of 3 days and three nights. Here we're talking about what? Why is it 3 days and three nights? Because the traveler is allowed, yani, huh, to wipe, al-mas'h, to wipe over their socks for 3 days and three nights. As far as the resident, they're allowed to wipe for 1 day and one night. So here he said, إِذَا كُنَّا سَفْرًا, yani, if we are travelers, if we were travelers, then he said, do not remove your socks. Meaning, when you make ablution, just wipe over them. You can just wipe over them. Don't remove them for 3 days and three nights, you're good. You don't have to take them off and wash your feet with water. Of course, with the conditions that go along with it, the most important of those conditions is that the person, before they put those socks on, they made wudu in which they washed their feet with water. So for 3 days and three nights, he said, don't take off your socks, illa min janabatin. Meaning? Except from janaba. From janaba, that's an exception. You can't wipe for 3 days and three nights with janaba. What happened with janaba? You have to take a ghusl. You have to take a complete bath. That means you have to take off your socks and take a complete bath, washing your whole body, including your feet. لكن من غائط وبول ونوم. However, يعني, this rule is applicable to what? يعني, the person who defecated, the person who urinated, and the person who was asleep. This hadith reported by Al-Imam Ahmed in which book? Al-Musnad, Al-Nasai, and the Sunan. And At-Tirmidhi said that this hadith is authentic. At-Tirmidhi said that it is authentic. Naam? Naam. Okay, in the hadith, okay, ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ, yani, in the book it is written with fatha on the meme, it should be, yani, كَسْرَتَيْن. Naam. فَإِنْ كَانَ النَّوْمُ يَسِيرًا أَوْ كَانَ مُمَكِّنًا مَقَعَدَتَهُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْتَظِرُ الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ يَنْتَظِرُ الصَّلَاةَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَنْتَقِدُ وُضُوءَهُ. وَذَلِكَ لِلَحَدِيثِ أَنَسْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ. Yani, to the next hadith. But before we go to the hadith, فَإِنْ كَانَ النَّوْمُ يَسِيرًا, yani, here we're saying what? That from amongst the things that require a person to make ablution, because it's from the nawaqid of wudu, from amongst the nawaqid of wudu, is that a person sleeps. But here is the commentary, yani, فَإِنْ كَانَ النَّوْمُ يَسِيرًا, but if the sleep was a light sleep, yani, a person is just a little drowsy, light sleep, they're not really, yani, engulfed in sleep, but a light sleep, يعني خفيف. أو كان ممكنا مقعدته من الأرض. Or a person is firmly seated. يعني their backside, buttocks, firmly seated upon the ground. Not leaning over somewhere and there, but sitting down, sitting up firmly, established in their sitting position. ينتظر الصلاة, يعني waiting for the prayer. Yani a person is waiting for the salat, and the time between the adhan and iqama is long. And maybe they're already tired. So in that long period of time, they start getting a little drowsy. But they're sitting firmly in their position. He's saying, in that case, yani, this, innahu la yantaqidu wudu'ahu. Yani, it doesn't invalidate. Yani, it doesn't invalidate. This would not be, yani, a naqid of that person's state of tahara, their ablution. This particular point about the sleep, yani, is a contested point. And there's a lot of difference of opinion about it. And, yani, of course, as we mentioned previously, our intent here is to study the Arabic language, not necessarily to study fiqh. Yani, this is, yani, one side of it, but the details of the differences of opinion about this is for another occasion. But in any case, there is difference of opinion about it. This is not something that's agreed upon. This is not a point that's agreed upon. There is difference of opinion. In any case, the opinion that's being stated here is that if a person is sleeping a light sleep and they're sitting upright, yani in their position, they're not laying down, leaning over or something, they're firmly established in their sitting position, waiting for the salat, then this is not a naqid of their state of tahara. This is based upon the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, qal, kana ashabu rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama yantadhiruna al-isha'a al-akhirata hatta, and there's a mistake here, yani the word that came here should be ta kha fa qaf, yani should be kha, yani there's no nuqta on the letter. The word yani hatta, yani hatta takhfidu or takhfudu or takhfuqu, yani it should be mansub hatta takhfuqa. Yani instead of ha should be kha, takhfuqa or takhfiqa. Yani qa, it could be fatha, it could be dhamma, both of them are permissible. Hatta takhfuqa ru'usuhum thumma yusalluna wa la yatawadda'una. Yani kana ashab rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yantadhiruna al-isha'a al-akhira. Yani the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what? Used to be waiting for the al-isha al-akhira, the last night prayer. Yani, meaning the Maghrib Isha, the last of them, meaning the Isha prayer. They used to be waiting for the final prayer of the night. Hatta takhfuqa ru'usuhum, until their heads were, yani, dropping, nodding. They were dozing off. Their head is dropping like this. Because what? They're tired. They're falling asleep. Yeah, like that. ثُمَّ يُصَلُّونَ وَلَا يَتَوَضَّعُونَ. And then, yani, when the iqama was called, when the Prophet ﷺ came to them, and they were, yani, called for the to prayer, ثُمَّ يُصَلُّونَ. They used to perform the prayer, and they did not perform ablution. And they did not perform ablution. Yani, they were sitting waiting for the prayer in a state of purification. And while they were waiting, they could have been waiting a long time. Huh? While they were waiting, some of them started to nod. Yani, to become drowsy. Their head is dropping. But when the Prophet ﷺ came to them to perform the prayer, they would stand up and they would pray without making ablution. This hadith, rawahu Muslimun, wa Tirmidhiyu, wa Abu Dawuda, wa lafdhu at-Tirmidhi, and the wording in at-Tirmidhi is a little bit, yani, slightly different. Okay, so this hadith, this wording came from al-Imam Muslim and at-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud, but the wording of Tirmidhi has something different in it. This is the wording of Tirmidhi. Lafdhu at-Tirmidhi, yani, laqad ra'aytu ashaba rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama yuqaduna lis-salati hatta inni la asma'u, ya Abdul Karim, hatta inni la asma'u li ahadihim ghatitan ثم يقومون فيصلون ولا يتوضعون. قال ابن المبارك يعني عبد المبارك هذا عندنا وهم جلوس. هذا عندنا وهم يعني واو هي واو الحال يعني this is يعني the condition of those people who are sitting, not those who are laying down. وهم جلوس while they were sitting. يعني in the narration of Tirmidhi لقد رأيت أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوقظون للصلاة. يعني I saw the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم يوقظون يعني being awakened. Being awakened يعني مبني للمجهول. Being awakened for the صلاة يعني meaning they were falling asleep and somebody would awaken them for the صلاة. حتى إني لأسمع لأحدهم غطيطا. Even I have actually heard for one of them, يعني maybe someone from amongst them, he heard some sound of snoring. ثم يقومون. Then when the time for the prayer came, يعني when they were awakened, يقومون فيصلون ولا يتوضعون. They would stand up and they would pray and they did not make wudu, ablution. Al-Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, the great scholar from the people of Sunnah, he said, هذا عندنا, يعني according to us, يعني his opinion, هذا عندنا وهم جلوس. This is only, according to our view, this is only if they were sitting, firmly established in their position. يعني firm in their position, firm in their position. يعني the point is what? يعني the point is that they are not laying down. They are not laying down. They are not leaning over. They are sitting in a position that nothing can come out. Huh? They are sitting in a position that nothing can come out. It's locked. It's locked down because the position is sitting firmly established. Nothing is going to come out except that it has to force its way out. So a person will know that something has happened. Okay? So if they are sitting firmly to the extent that nothing can happen except that they know it, then this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a person who would be aware if they had passed wind, they would be aware that they have passed wind. والزوال والعقل بغير النوم مما ذكر أبلغ من النوم والله أعلم. So, يعني these two narrations that we have mentioned here, specifically in reference to the point of what type of sleep we're talking about. Is it a light sleep in which a person is sitting firmly in their position, or is it in reference to any kind of sleep? Yani that every type of sleep, even if it's a light sleep, even if a person, however they're sitting, doesn't matter that it invalidates wudu. This particular point, yani the view that's being expressed here is that there is some tafsil. It's not absolute that sleep automatically invalidates wudu. Rather, we're saying that it's not so if it is a light sleep and the person is sitting up firmly. So they mention one proof for this, and that is, yani, that which is reported by Al-Imam Muslim, that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, if they were waiting for the last prayer of the night, and it was late, and they were tired, and they were waiting for some time, sometimes they would nod, and yet, yani, when the prayer was performed, they would get up and pray without making wudu. This proves that not every type of sleep absolutely invalidates wudu. Because there's no way that they're going to get up and pray and not make wudu. Maybe today, some person may be laying down, sleeping, dead. If you shake him and kick him, he doesn't move. But when he finally wakes up, he joins the line. The companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhum, they wouldn't do like that. So this is a proof that sleep is not absolutely an invalidator of al-wudu. Then he says, yani, that the loss of one's intellect, their consciousness, their mind, by other than sleep, mimma dhukira. Yani mimma dhukira, yani meaning from amongst those things that were mentioned previously, other than sleep. Like a person fell unconscious, or a person was under the influence of some type of intoxicant, or a person was taking some medication that affected their thinking, their consciousness, their ability. If any of these type of things that are mentioned, Yani, those things, he said, are more far-reaching than sleep. Yani, meaning the effect on the mind and the loss of ability to distinguish what is happening with you is greater with a person who is what? Intoxicated than a person who's just sleeping. It's greater with a person who's under the influence of some heavy drug. Yani, not intoxicants, medication from the doctor. And the person can't stay awake. Or whatever like this. These things are even more far-reaching in the effect, yani, than is sleep. So, yani, in general, if sleep invalidates wudu, it's not because sleeping in and of itself is an invalidator of wudu. It's not because of that. Because if it was so, then even a light sleep would invalidate wudu. But it means that when a person is sleeping, deep sleep, they don't know what has happened while they were asleep. That's the point. That something may have happened that invalidated wudu. Not the sleep itself is an invalidated wudu, but sleep is the position or condition in which a person might invalidate their wudu without knowing about it. So even more so if a person is intoxicated or other things like this that are mentioned. That's the point here. And we're going to come back to this point, inshallah, yani, after we finish the invalidators. Okay, let's see if we can finish the invalidators first. And then, inshallah, we'll come back to some of these points. Okay, third one. The third, yani, naqid of the nawaqid of wudu, mas al-farj bidun ha'il. Mas al-farj bidun ha'ilin. Meaning? Naam. Yani, meaning touching the external genitals, yani the private parts, without something in between, without something ha'il, something that is stopping you from having direct contact with touching the genitals. This point here, that is an invalidator of wudu, if a person touch their, yani, genitals, the external, yani, sexual organs, without anything in between, direct contact. This point, yani, is mentioned, a proof for it is mentioned, and this one requires a lot of discussion, li hadithi Busra bint Safwan radiallahu anha. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من مس ذكره فلا يصلي حتى يتوضأ حتى يتوضأ رواه الخمسة وصححه الترمذي ونقل عن البخاري أنه أصح الشيء في هذا الباب. Let's go with this first hadith. يعني the hadith of Busra. Hadithi Busra. يعني Busrata. Binti Safwan رضي الله عنها. يعني the hadith of Busra is one of the evidences for one view concerning this issue. It's one of the evidences for one side of the issue. Hadith of Busra رضي الله عنها. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من مس ذكره فلا يصلي حتى يتوضع. يعني whoever touched his private part, نعم, sexual organ, فلا يصلي حتى يتوضع. Then he must not pray. This لا is what? لا ناهية. يعني it's prohibited. لا يصلي. How do we know it's لا ناهية and not لا نافية? Huh? What did you say, Nasir? Wait a minute, hold it, let him answer. Because there's no sukoon, he said. That's what you said. There should be a sukoon. If it's la nahiya, there should be a sukoon. But there's no sukoon, like you said. So how is it la nahiya? Okay, Abu Bakr, you get the second chance. Huh? Naam, mashallah. Okay, the point is here is that يعني فلا يصلي, the mudari verb here is majzoom. The sign that is majzoom is hadf, but not hadf al-noon, harf, hadf, harf al-illah. يعني نعم, because originally this verb is صلى يصلي يصلي, so the ya is omitted, that means that's the sign of jazm here, حذف حرف إلا فلا يصلي, so it is لا ناهية يعني the prohibitive لا, the proof of it is that the مضارع verb is مجزوم حتى يتوضع يعني then do not, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying he must not pray until he performs ablution. Until he performs ablution. So this is a proof that touching the private parts is a nullifier of wudu, according to one opinion. This hadith is reported by Al-Khamsa, and we mean by Al-Khamsa what? As-Sab'atu illa al-Shaykhain. Now, meaning the seven collectors except the two sheikhs, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, or we can say Ahmed was Sunan al-Arba'ah. وسنن الأربعة أحمد أبو داود الترمذي ابن ماجة النسائي وصححه الترمذي and الترمذي الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله he declared this hadith to be صحيح ونقل نقل الترمذي نقل عن البخاري أنه أصح الشيء في هذا الباب يعني الترمذي he has conveyed to us from الإمام البخاري his statement that this hadith is the what? أصحّ شيء في هذا الباب.
Where we used to live, there was only one bathroom, and early in the morning, the bathroom used to be busy with a lot of people showering. So some among the elders once suggested to the rest of the people that instead of waiting for the person in the bathroom, let us do the ablution outside in the meantime, and then when the person leaves the bathroom, and then you can do the bathroom one, the bathroom purification, and then you go do your salat. And we used to, a lot of people used to do that.
Okay, we're gonna stop with this one. We're gonna stop with this because this is gonna lead to a long discussion. This is gonna lead to a long discussion. In any case, and if a person has to use the bathroom. They will make wudu before they use the bathroom? I heard the whole story, but now I just want to be clear on one point. That they made ablution and then they go and use the bathroom? Okay, we don't have to have the long discussion about this. Yani after you use the bathroom, you have to make wudu, not before using the bathroom. Okay, let's go on, because we're going to get sidetracked, okay? This way I want to understand. أصحو شيء في هذا الباب. What does that mean? The most authentic thing in this chapter. This chapter meaning? This subject that we're talking about specifically, about touching the private parts, does it invalidate wudu or not? This particular subject. Okay, we're talking about bab here is meaning this particular matter, the specific matter under discussion, which is touching the private parts. Yani, does it invalidate wudu or not? Okay, so Al-Imam Bukhari, his view is that this narration of Busra that indicates touching the private parts invalidates wudu. He said this narration is the most authentic narration. Now, we're not talking about the view. We're talking about the narration. Bukhari is saying this is the most authentic narration concerning this matter. That's his view. No, Bukhari didn't confirm that it's sahih. Asahhu shay, this is very important. Asahhu shay doesn't mean that it's sahih. La. It means that it's more authentic than something else. Maybe there are 10 narrations, all of them are weak, but one may be stronger than the others. So, hadha asahhu shay. Yani, it's more authentic than the other weak narrations. That's the point here, okay? So Bukhari, he's not saying this hadith is sahih. Bukhari did not say it's sahih. At-Tirmidhi said it's sahih. And At-Tirmidhi says, Bukhari says, it's more authentic than the other narration. Not that it's sahih. Okay, thank you for your question. It's a very important affair. Because the person might think that the meaning of this is the most, of all sahih narrations, this is the most sahih. Asahu, yani, shay. No, it doesn't mean that. Of all sahih narrations, this is the most authentic. It means of all narrations And maybe none of them are sahih, but this is any stronger than the others. Yani, it is said, except for the people, yani, in Al-Maghrib, yani, the people in the Western Muslim lands, they didn't agree. They said that Muslim is. But in any case, the rest of the Muslims in the world agreed that the most authentic book after the Quran is Al-Bukhari. Uh-huh. Yani, before, they used to say that. But after Bukhari, no. There's no chance. Yani, it's no comparison. No comparison. So, okay, so that is the first hadith, right? Now, they brought another hadith. Hadith Abi Huraira. Hadithu Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu. Anna al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man afdha biyadihi ila dhakarihi. Laysa dunahu sitrun. Faqad wajaba al-wudu'u. Rawahu Ahmadu. وابن حبان في صحيحه وصححه الحاكم وابن عبد البر وأخرجه البيهقي. Okay, second hadith that they mentioned, hadith of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من أفضى بيده إلى ذكره. من أفضى يعني نعم, whoever caused his hands to reach, to touch the private part, his private part, laysa dunahu satrun, without anything between his hand and the private parts. Meaning, he didn't have a cloth or a glove or something, but rather his hand is touching directly with the private part. Yani afdha biyadihi ila dhakarihi means he caused it to reach, to touch, to come in direct contact with the private parts. Faqad wajaba al-wudu. Then to make ablution has become mandatory, became obligatory. And this narration is reported by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad and reported by Ibn Hibban. What is the book of Ibn Hibban? The Sahih of Ibn Hibban, yani fi sahihihi, and also Al-Hakim, yani declared it to be sahih. What book is Al-Hakim? Al-Mustadrak. And Ibn Abdul Barr also, yani, declared it to be sahih, and it is reported also by Al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan. Ibn Abdul Barr was a scholar of hadith from which madhab? Maliki madhab. And he's a very important scholar, and he's mentioned here for significance, because Ibn Abdul Barr was a scholar of hadith, not just a scholar of Maliki madhab. He was a scholar of hadith. And he has two very great important books, which both of them are standard, yani, what do you call them? Yani, important foundation books for the Maliki Madhab and for the people of Hadith. And both of them are the explanation of the famous and great important book of Hadith, Al-Muwatta. Al-Muwatta. So he has, you know, two very important books explaining the Muwatta. And yani, it is worth noting here that even though some of the people of the Maliki Madhab say that it doesn't matter what Imam Malik narrated in the Muwatta from being sahih, from the Prophet praying with his right hand on his left hand, it doesn't matter because yani, they are saying that what? Yani, he followed the way, what he found the people of Medina. Even if he narrated a hadith from the Prophet, that doesn't really matter. So they don't care about the what he narrated from the Prophet, but rather they're saying the amal of Ahl Medina, that they're claiming that they used to pray with their hands on the side, and that's what he was following. So it's worth noting here that from amongst the great scholars of the Maliki Madhab, who explained the Muwatta of Imam Malik, two most important books, Ibn Abdul Barr, he rejects that. He said, no. Yani, the sunnah is to pray with the right hand over the left hand, as Imam Malik narrated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. One last point, Khalifa, naam.
I prayed with a brother in the masjid, but you know, with his hands down, so I missed the prayer, so I don't know the right room. So when you said that, I said, oh, well, the second, the next thing is, the second thing is that you said when a brother says in private parts, they got to make a move, you know, move. All right, cool, it's cool. Now I'm thinking about the one. Why haven't you touched your breast? You just got to make a move.
No, it means the genitals, Yanni.
Genitals. Genitals.
That a person relieves their self from.
Okay, I think.
Huh?
Can
it be the clothing? Anything. Sitra. Sitra. Yani it means anything that comes in between. Yani it comes directly, yani so that the hand is not directly in contact. We have one more point to do, but go ahead. Yani it's clearly the qubul, but it can mean both of them. Now, can mean both of them. Now, we're going to talk about it in a little more detail. But let's just finish the lesson. Then we're going to come back to this lesson and go into some of and look at some of the details. Go ahead. What's now? No. Okay, if a person is making ghusl and during the performance of the ghusl they touch their private parts, we'll have discussion about it, okay? Yani, it depends on the opinion that a person follows. This is one opinion. As I said, there's another opinion. We didn't hear the other opinion yet. Other opinion is the opinion of Al-Imam al-Shafi and Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah, and that is that if a person touched their private part with shahwa, with shahwa, yani meaning with sexual desire. But otherwise, if they just touched it, not with sexual desire, like you making ghusl, it doesn't matter. That's the other opinion. We're going to talk about that opinion too. But this is the opinion that's presented here. After that, we look at the other opinion and their evidence and who said so and whatever. Okay, so we'll come to that. But for now, we'll say that if the person follows this opinion, that if they touch it, khalas, yani invalidates wudu. The other opinion, which is more correct, is that it was shahwa. Anyway, we'll talk about it. And there's various yani sayings concerning that. Naam. Talq ibn Habib. We're going to come to this discussion of this. Naam. We're going to come to that's the evidence for the other side. That's the other side. We'll come to that, inshallah. But we want to finish the text for the lesson first. It's just a part of your body. Yeah, we're going to come to that hadith. Yani the hadith of Talq ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet said it's no more than a part, just a regular part of your body. And this, yani the scholars say, suggests to us that meaning that if you touched it the same way you touched any other part of your body, like your foot or your arm or your neck, then it doesn't invalidate wudu. And that's where the idea came that the reconciliation, the jam between these two views, yani these two evidences, is that one is suggesting that it absolutely invalidates wudu, the other one is suggesting that it absolutely does not invalidate wudu. So where is the middle course? Meaning that with shahwa or without shahwa. That's how both of them will be yani explained. Anyway, we'll talk about that discussion after we finish the lesson or in the next session, inshallah. But there are two views, and I tried to allude to that as we were going along, so we'll come back to the other view, inshallah. Let's just try to finish what remains right here, because time is running out. For this particular class, we only have a few minutes remaining. Okay, so the fourth invalidator of wudu, and by the way, there are other invalidators of wudu, some of which might not be agreed upon. We want to talk about them too, but we want to finish the lesson. Yani for today, we want to at least finish the lesson, and then we'll come to the details concerning some of these affairs. Okay, number four, from the nawaqid of wudu, is aklu lahma al-ibli. Al-ibli. Aklu lahma, or should it be aklu lahmi? Yani in the book we have fatta, it should be kasra. Why should it be kasra? Because the i'rab of lahm, lahm is mudafun ilayhi majroor, wa alamu tujarrihi kasra. Kasra. So there's a printing mistake here. Aklu lahma should be aklu lahmi al-ibili. And again, the word ibil also has fatta, and ibil should be having taking kasra, ibili. And like lahm is mudafun ilayhi majrur, and ibil is also mudafun ilayhi majrur, wa lam tujarrihi kasra. Okay, so the fourth of the things that they mentioned for invalidators of wudu is what? Eating the meat of camels, or eating camel meat. Eating camel meat. By the way, has anybody here ever eaten camel meat? No? When you were in the desert, you ate it. Did you make wudu after you ate it? No, don't answer that question. He was in the desert, there was no water. He made tayammum, there was no water. Okay, eating the meat of the camel, eating camel meat. The proof for this is that which is narrated from Jabir. Li hadithi Jabir ibn Samurata radiyallahu anhuma anna rajulan sa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. It should be here, أَتَوَضَّعُ. Should be Hamza al-Istifham. أَتَوَضَّعُ. Yani, in some of the narrations, maybe it doesn't have the Hamza al-Istifham, but in the narration of Imam Muslim, which we are referring to here, it has Hamza al-Istifham. أَتَوَضَّعُ مِن لُحُومِ الْغَنَمِ قَالَ إِن شِتَّ فَتَوَضَّعْ. يعني مجزوم والسكون يعني فعل أمر. وإن شئت فلا توضع. يعني it should be here instead of تتوضع, it should be one تاء as it came in صحيح مسلم. As it came in صحيح مسلم. وإن شئت فلا توضع. قال. Here it came like this, the way it is in the book. أَتَوَضَّعُ مِنْ لُحُومِ الْإِبِلِ يعني قال أَتَوَضَّعُ يعني فعل أمر أنا أَتَوَضَّعُ أَتَوَضَّعُ مِنْ لُحُومِ الْإِبِلِ قال نعم تَوَضَّعْ مِنْ لُحُومِ الْإِبِلِ قال. Here in our book, it has Hamzat al-Istifham, Sahih Muslim. It doesn't have Hamzat al-Istifham in Sahih Muslim. Usalli, yani the meaning is the question. Usalli fi marabidi al-ghanami. Qala na'am. Qala, without Hamzat al-Istifham in Sahih Muslim. Usalli fi mabariki al-ibli. Qala la. Rawahu Muslimun wa Ahmad. Yani, the way I read it to you is the way it came in Sahih Muslim. I went back to Sahih Muslim, and some slight variation in the wording in Sahih Muslim from the way it is in the book. In any case, yani, the meaning doesn't change by it in any way. But that's how it came in Sahih Muslim. Yani, hadith Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhuma, anna rajulan sa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a atawadda'u min luhumi al-ghanami. What is the meaning? Amen. That a man asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "أَتَوَضَّأُ مِنْ لُحُومِ الْغَنَمِ؟ Shall I perform wudu, ablution, from the meat of ghanam, goat or sheep like this? Shall I perform ablution from the meat of ghanam, meaning from, yani after eating the meat of the ghanam, yani the sheep or goat or something like this? Do I have to perform ablution after I have eaten this kind of meat? Qala, ماذا? He said, إن شئت فتوضع. If you like, if you will, then make ablution. وإن شئت فلا توضع. And if you will, if you like, then do not make ablution. From غنم, لحوم الغنم. قال. أتوضأ من لحوم الإبلي؟ قال نعم توضع من لحوم الإبلي. Shall I perform ablution from the meat of camel, yani after eating the meat of the camel, he said, yes, perform ablution from eating the meat of the camel. قَالَ أُصَلِّي فِي مَرَابِضِي الْغَنَمِ نَعَمْ in the what? مَرَابِض the ghanam, yani, shall I pray in the, yani, marabit means the place where they rest, where the sheep or the goats, yani, lay down, where they rest, their resting place. Shall I pray in their resting place? Qala na'am. Qala usalli fi mabariki al-ibli. Yani, mabarik al-ibli means the place where they kneel down. When the camels get ready to rest, they kneel down. Huh? They kneel down, and then they sleep in that position, kneeling. They sleep like that. Shall I pray in the marab, in the mabariki al-ibli? Yani, in some of the narration said, a'atani al-ibli. A'atan, yani, means the same thing, the place where they kneel down to sleep. Shall I pray in the sleeping place of the camels? Qala la. Yani, no. Do not pray in the, yani, mabarik of the camels. Rawahu Muslim wa Ahmed. One thing I failed to mention, I forgot when we read number 2. At the end of number 2, it said, Qala ibn Mubarak. There's a footnote here that says, Huwa al-Imam al-Zahid. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. Min a'immat al-Salaf. Rahimahumullah ta'ala. I forgot to mention this footnote. Yani, that Ibn al-Mubarak is referring to al-Imam al-Zahid. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. Min a'immat al-Salaf. Rahimahumullah ta'ala. Yani, al-Zahid here means what? Ascetic. Naam. Al-Imam al-Zahid. He was an imam and he wasn't, yani, involved in the dunya. Yani, he wasn't interested in riding the finest cars and living in the biggest houses and wearing the finest clothing. Yani, he wasn't concerned about that. He was concerned about what? Al-Akhirah. Al-Akhirah. Yani, al-Dunya wal-Akhirah. And he was from the imams of the Salaf. May Allah have mercy upon them all. Now, okay, so this is the end of the nawaqid that I mentioned here. And like I said, there are some other nawaqid. And I think that we'll read in the next class, inshallah, something from that. But here, maybe in the minute or two that's remaining, what time? I have 4:27. What time do you, anybody have a different time? Or is that good time? 4:27, good. Okay, so let me just, you want to read the hadith? You brought the hadith with you?
Yes.
Now, okay, read loud though, okay? Or either come near so that, you know, everybody can hear. So the sisters can also hear. He said... somebody read for us. Come. Huh? You want somebody else to read? Who wants to read? Yalla.
Yeah,
come a little bit closer. Now. They can hear now, inshallah.
وَعَنْ طَلْقِ إِبْنِ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَجُلٌ مَسَسْتُ ذَكَرِي أَوْ قَالَ الرَّجُلُ يَمَسُّ ذَكَرَهُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ عَلَيْهِ وُضُوءٌ أَوْ قَالَ أَوْ فَقَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم لَا إِنَّمَا هُوَ بِضْعَةٌ مِنْكَ أخرجه الخمسة وصححه ابن حبان.
طيب, translate for us the meaning of this hadith. يعني a man touched, يعني
حديث من طلق ابن علي رضي الله عنه, he said that قال رجل that a man said مسست ذكري I touched my private part.
نعم.
أو قال or he said الرجل يمس ذكره.
يعني a man said I touched my private part, or he said he's asking as though it's somebody else, or someone touched their private parts.
في الصلاة.
In the prayer.
عليه وضوء.
يعني is it incumbent upon him? Is it obligatory upon him to make ablution?
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا إنما هو.
يعني لا.
No.
Pause for a minute. لا إنها. He said لا إنها. لا إنها.
إنما هو.
إنما هو.
It is only بضعة.
Yani a part. He said, no, he doesn't have to make ablution, for indeed it is only a part of his body. A part of his body. Naam, it's just a part of his body. Yani part of your body. Tayyib, jazakallah khair. Inshallah, we'll come back to this narration, but I'm just going to make a brief comment here. Yani that this hadith, yani the hadith of Talq ibn Ali, yarhamukullah, is an indication to us. Yani that the Prophet ﷺ is suggesting that if it is just a regular part of your body, like any other part of the body, then you don't have to make ablution. And that is, yani the meaning here, which is understood, which we'll talk about in detail in the next session. What is understood here is that if the person touches their private, yani the genitals, in the way that they touch their foot or their neck or their arm, yani without any sexual intent or feeling or excitement or yani like that, then without shahwa, then it doesn't invalidate the wudu. And these two hadith, yani, can be reconciled. And we're going to talk about what the scholars say about each of them in a little bit further detail in the next session, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala. And somebody remind me in the next session to also talk about one or two other, yani, points that some of the scholars mentioned as nullifiers of ablution. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka.